Page 296, Systematic Theology. Now, Brother Ray, you were quite confused about this, weren't you, when you read through this?
Well, yeah, I had a lot of reading about these different ideas that these men had.
We're going to skip over a lot of that to keep from being confused. And I'm going to try to, in a concise, Reader's Digest, concentrated, abbreviated fashion, try to explain what the author here is trying to say. I don't agree with him completely. In some ways, strong is better than Thiessen in this area. So I'm just going to go over some of this. Just read a few things out of here, and then we're going to go on to the next subject, which is almost redundant, but it isn't. And that's chapter 24, the person of Christ, the two natures, and the character of Christ. We've been studying the humility of Christ, how that God humbled himself, bringing himself into human flesh to redeem us. Jesus. There is a problem with theologians. They either try to make Jesus all God or all man.
Amen.
And he was God-man. He was not all God, and he was not all man. This is a great mystery, the mysterion, the secret, that how God became flesh and dwelt among us. Let's go to Galatians, the fourth chapter, again. Again. And again and again, we go to these verses. John, Galatians, the fourth chapter, Philippians, John, the first chapter, because these are the foundation of this doctrine of Christ, of God in flesh. Remember, Jesus was not all God. And he was not all man. He was God-man in reality. He was not. Jesus on this earth did not have all the glory that he had with the Father or with the triune God in eternity past, did he? He said that. Father, give me the glory as I had with you before. So we did not have all of that here. I want to read some things to you out of this book. But let's go to Galatians 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. And the King James says, made of a woman and made under the law. And the Amplified, or the New American Standard says, born of a woman and born under the law. Why? So he could be our Goel, our kinsman redeemer. In order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as heirs. That's more than just sons, that's heirs. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Spirit of his Son. What is the Spirit of God's Son? What is it?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
All of God you'll ever see is the what? The Son. All of God you'll ever know is the Father. All of God you'll ever experience and feel in that way, experience emotionally, spiritually, is the Spirit of God. Okay? That's it. Therefore, you are no longer slave, but a son. And if a son, then you are heir through God. Now let's go to John 1:14 again. Sharon, how do you say that in Greek?
Kai ho logos sarx
agento. Kai ho logos sarx agento. All of you agree with that?
Yep.
Kai and, page 208. Ho logos. And the Word. But here we know what that Word was. That Word is Jehovah. And Jehovah. The Jehovah. the Jehovah, the Jehovah of the Old Testament.
Ha-da-var, the Word. Ha and Word
in the Old Testament. The Word
in the New Testament is whole logos. But that represents this name of God right here.
It represents that name. That is Jehovah, the personal name of God. Kaiho Logos starts again until, and the Word, the Jehovah flesh, he became. He became for himself, second aorist. Third person singular, second aorist, indicative middle voice. That's that word again, Atom. He became flesh, and he dwelt among us. He pitched his tent among us. That word dwell there means to habitate. He habitated among us, did he not? Did he? Did God habitate among us? Yes, he did. Why did God have the tabernacle built? Brother A, why did God have this tabernacle built? You remember what he said? So I can dwell with my people. Now the tabernacle is a type of Jesus Christ, is it not? It is. Everything in that tabernacle shows Jesus. I want to dwell with my people. Kaiho Logos starts again. And the Jehovah flesh he became, and he dwelt among us. That was the type of him. Now it happens in reality.
Right.
This is the type of what was going to happen. It was a prophecy of what was going to happen. Now the real evidence begins that God dwells among his people. Kaiho Logos starts again. And the Jehovah flesh he became, and he dwelt among us. He pitched his tent. Tabernacled. Tabernacled? That's the word. Skene. Tabernacled. Among us. And we beheld what? The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. John 1:18 says, what? No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God. That's what it says, the only begotten God. The one being in the bosom of the Father. That word is own.
That's a very important word, own. Nominative, singular, masculine. Present, participle, active.
The one being in the bosom of the Father. And then it says, that one has led himself out. That one has led himself out. Again, third person singular, second aorist, indicative middle voice. He has led himself out. Now, John 1 and 1, and we cover this so many times, but this is very important. NRK ain ho logos. Kai ho logos ain proston theon. Kai ho logos ain theos. In beginning, kept on being the Jehovah. And the Jehovah kept on being Kaiho Logos ein proston theon. And the Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead. Kaiho Logos ein kept on being proston theon. Now that pros there, that's a preposition, page 346.
Ton theon. Now, that's the accusative singular masculine. Accusative singular masculine. Preposition. 346.
Look it up. Kept on being toward the God. He kept on being toward the God. So what does that mean? He kept on being inseparable from God, didn't he? Did Jesus ever cease being God? No. He didn't cease being God. He kept on being part of God. And it says then, because, that other Kai now, because the Word, or God kept on being the Jehovah? Did Jehovah ever cease being Jehovah? Marilyn, what does Jehovah mean?
Jehovah?
Yes.
He who shall become.
He who shall become. Did John 1:14 fulfill that?
Yes.
That what his name meant. Okay. Now, let me read a little something to you. The writer says here, and down almost in the middle of page 296, therefore reject the theory that Christ emptied himself of his relative attributes at the incarnation. What attributes? What are the attributes of God?
Omniscient, omnipresent,
and omnipowerful. Was Jesus really omnipresent when he was here?
No, he
not exactly. But was he with the Father?
Always.
Always. So that's confusing, isn't it? How is he omnipresent? Did Jesus say he knew everything about his second coming or anything when he was here?
Mm-hmm.
But only the Father that is in heaven. Now, but he emptied himself by giving up the independent exercise of his relative attributes. Thus he was omnipresent, omnipotent, and omnipresent as the Father granted him the exercise of these attributes in his earthly ministry. On the next page, he was made in the likeness of men. He had to be, didn't he? He had to be made in the likeness of men. Philippians 2 and 7. He subsisted in the form of God. He came in the likeness of men. In Romans 8 and 3, Paul says that God sent his own Son in the likeness of flesh, of sin, but without sin. When he says the likeness of flesh of sin, what does he mean by that? Did Jesus have the ability to sin?
Yeah.
Yes. He could have because he was in human flesh. He could have sinned, but did he? No. We have the first Adam that flopped and the second Adam that succeeded. Down in the middle of that page on page 297, it says, the apostle is careful not to say in sinful flesh, for in him was no sin as to the whole sacred being. But neither does he say likeness of flesh, which might seem to be that flesh was unreal. Jesus was in real flesh. Many groups deny that Jesus was really in flesh, that God became flesh. The eternal Son in John 1:14 took on real flesh. Did he not say that? Kaihologos Arctogenito. And the Jehovah flesh he became and dwelt among us. And it was like to our flesh of sin in that it was liable to all such needs and infirmities as not in a sinful way. Jesus hungered, did he not? But not in a sinful way. How could you hunger in a sinful way? Huh? How could you hunger in a sinful way? Come on.
Glutton.
Brother, you said it. A glutton. Someone that eats too much. Someone that eats so much they just keep packing on the pounds. Is that sinful?
Yes.
It is sinful. Yes, it is. Eating the wrong kind of food, eating too much of it, this is sinful, isn't it? We don't like to talk about that. But is it sinful?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. It's sinful. The Bible. How about drinking? Is drinking sinful?
To excessive.
To excess, yes. Drinking is sinful.
Gambling.
Drinking is sinful if you drink it to excess. Did Jesus sin when he drank wine? No. Did he drink wine? Yes. Did he ever sin by drinking wine? No. Did he ever drink to excess? No. Did he ever get drunk? No. Can you do that? Yes. There are some people that drink themselves to sleep every night. Every day. Jesus never ate too much, did he? He never drank too much. Did he ever lust? Did he ever lust?
He had the ability to, but I don't think he did.
No. He had the ability to. Was he really a man?
Yes.
Yes. So he had the ability, but he did not. This Da Vinci Code and all of this, the Holy Grail and things that are going on today, trying to prove that Jesus had children by Mary Magdalene. And if you read in the Greek New Testament, that woman loved him. She did. She loved him. She affectionately kissed his feet with great love and affection. As he was laying up to that table in the Pharisee's house, it was a total disgrace, as far as they were concerned, to allow this woman of this courtesan, this famous courtesan, rich courtesan, to allow her to kiss his feet. But did he lust? Did he do anything wrong in allowing that? No. But the world would have you now, as you go on, if you can go online and you can see, it was Mary Magdalene, the Holy Grail. The whole Da Vinci Code, that movie that was put out, was all about this woman that was a descendant of Jesus. Did Jesus have any descendants? Only you and me. No physical descendants. If he'd had descendants, would they have lived forever?
No, yes.
If he had them, would they have lived forever?
Yes.
They would have been capable of living forever.
Yes.
Because they would have had Jesus' blood in them. And Jesus' blood was divine.
The ability to
That's right. Yes. Jesus had the, had the ability to reproduce, but he would have reproduced another Adam without sin. Adam had the blood of God in him, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
If Jesus had children, would they have the blood of God in them? Without sin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that his purpose to come to this world?
No.
No. But you look at all these things. You look at what Jesus did for us. This is amazing when you look at this with intricate detail.
Yeah.
Page 298. Jesus had a perfectly human body, but it was fitted out to serve God's purpose. John said the Word pitched his tent, tabernacle, like the tabernacle that portrayed what he would do in flesh. And Paul said in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Colossians 2 and 9. Who's speaking? Who's he speaking to? What's the subject? Who, what, where, when, and why? Remember that? Let's look at Colossians 2 and 9 for just a moment. Colossians 2 and 9. For in dwells all the fullness of deity in bodily form, in whom you have been complete. And he is the head over, rule over all authority. Who's speaking? Who's he speaking to? Church at Colossae. All right. What period of time? The writing of the letter. Is this after Jesus died on the cross and ascended into heaven?
No.
Yes. Did he, in him, at that moment, when this letter was written, did the fullness of deity dwell in Jesus? Yes. Now, when Jesus was on the earth, did he ever cease being God? No. But did the fullness of all of his deity dwell in him as a human being? No.
Well, it wasn't allowed to be expressed, but it could have been dormant.
This is very confusing, isn't it? It is very confusing. And these writers just go back and forth, don't they, Brother Ray? Oh, I'm Shedd and Thiessen and Strong, and all of them wrestle back and forth on these ideas. Jesus was not all God and Jesus was not all man. That Jesus was the God-man, yes, he was always deity, he never ceased being deity. But did he exercise all of his powers of omniscience? Did he know what was in men's hearts? Yes. He did his... Earlier in the writings that we have in systematic theology, did Jesus perform one miracle of himself?
No.
That was all through the power of the Holy Spirit. But in this chapter, he says that Jesus did powers to himself. He performed miracles himself. Jesus had the ability even to give other people the power to perform miracles, didn't he? But it was all through the Holy Spirit. Jesus offered himself to the eternal Spirit. Jesus was raised through the eternal Spirit. But the Bible says that the Father raised him, that the eternal Spirit raised him, and that Jesus raised himself. Is there any contradiction in that?
No. No.
Now, I wrote something here a long time ago. When do you become life?
Point of conception.
The point of conception is when we have a what we call a brephos in Greek. At the point of conception, was Jesus God? Absolutely. Was he God in flesh at the point of conception?
Yes.
Was he God when he was born? When he died on the cross of Calvary. When he did all the miracles, yes. Now, I wrote this down probably 30 years ago. And at that time, there was a great controversy. They were trying a doctor for murder. In abortion, the fetus and a mother may be killed. Is that true? Is it life? Is it a person? Is a doctor killing a person? Yes. Now, they are trying a doctor for killing a fetus outside of the womb because he strangled it. It was living outside the womb. So he strangled it. Now, while it was in the mother's womb, if he'd have chopped it up and scrambled it or whatever he wanted to do in there, it was still an individual, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But it would have been legal. But it became murder when he strangled it outside of its mother's womb. Mm. Think about that for a while. This is the world that we live in today. The world we live in. When you go away from God's Word, you can get out there in the twilight zone, can't you? The laws that they're trying to make, and I'm glad that this Kavanaugh has been appointed, or trying to be appointed to the Supreme Court. We need somebody in there on God's side. Mm-hmm. We got plenty on the other side. We got plenty on the other side that are causing this type of situation here, where a doctor killing a child inside of a womb, like with an egg beater or something type thing, just killing it. It's a human being. It's real. Do you know, Vincent, that people have the ability to remember when they were in their mother's womb?
They have the ability, but I'm not sure how many
people. If they can pull it out. Some people, we were watching a documentary on television here a few years ago, Marilyn, and it said some people have the ability to remember everything down to the point when they were in their mother's womb and their birth. I had that ability. I had that ability when I was very young. I mean, I do remember those things. I remember those things.
I do remember things being in the crib.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I can remember.
You can remember being in your crib. Yeah. I can remember being in a crib, too. I can remember before I was a year old when I almost bled to death of a bloody nose in the crib. I can remember before I was 2 years old. I remember a lot of things. A lot of stuff at that period of time. I used to seem like I could recall every day. Can you imagine a child that goes to heaven when he's been turned into a mush inside of his mother's womb? Does that child feel that pain? Have you ever thought how much pain a child feels when he's born? A mother feels pain. You felt pain? Did you? You remember when that guy was born? You remember the pain? Sharon, do you remember the pain when your child was born? The pains?
Don't remind
you. You know these things. In your brain, you have the ability to go all the way back there. Only one thing that I am thankful to God for, as Brother Madden said to me a long time ago, God always gets the victory. Every child that's ever been aborted is going to be with God. That's what it said. Even those Muslim babies. Those atheist babies. All of these terrible drug addicts babies that are aborted. And he used to say, sometimes he thanked God for abortion. Because they would have to grow up in those homes as Muslims, drug addicts, prostitutes. I'm not glorifying abortion. Abortion is murder.
Mm-hmm.
It's murder. Inside or outside of the womb, it's murder. Page 299. Page 299. The person of Christ, the two natures, and the character of Christ. We must next examine the historical manifestation of the incarnation. We have a pre-incarnate Christ and we have an incarnate Christ. Pre-incarnate. What's that mean?
Before he entered flesh.
Pre actually comes from that Greek word right there. Pre, that means before. And in is in. We go back here to the end of this word in English etymology, and that means the act of. Before the act of in flesh. And now we have the word incarnate. And that means the act of being in flesh. Jesus, in his pre-incarnate form, walked with Adam in the garden. Jesus, in his pre-incarnate form, spoke to Adam. Jesus, in his pre-incarnate form, spoke to Cain, and tried to get him to repent, didn't he? Jesus, in his pre-incarnate form, appeared to Abraham. And when I was in Damascus, Syria, I supposedly ate the food that Abraham gave to the angels and to Jesus. And it was the fatted calf, and it was camel's milk yogurt. Did you ever drink any camel's milk when you were over there in Egypt, Sharon?
I don't remember that. I remember having eggs fried in camel fat.
Yeah.
And I refused to eat them.
Yeah.
So I was used to bacon fat. They don't do bacon fat over there.
No, they don't. This is what they fed me. I remember we had three plates. Or four plates or five plates or six. How many course meal you were going to have? You know, Muhammad was obsessive compulsive disorder. I don't know if you know that or not. But he was. And the Muslims today will separate their food. And they have it on different plates. They come and sit and order. You have a stack of plates on your table when you go into a restaurant. They give you one course. You eat that, and they give you a plate. You put another plate on the next plate, and the next plate, and the next plate. But this one time, they made an exception to the rule. They came out, and they put this meat on our plate. Brother Matt says, boy, we're going to get something to eat. This looks okay. And then, well, actually, they put some rice on the bottom of it, put the meat on top of it. He said, goody, goody. And they brought that camel's yogurt gravy out and put it on top of it. He said, well, you've ruined it now. And he took his plate off the table and said, kitty, kitty, kitty. On the floor. I said, Brother Matt, you're going to get us killed in here. We're in Syria. Damascus, Syria. Matt, what do you think you are? Killed these ragheads during the war. I could probably kill some more of them. Boy. Well, did Jesus manifest himself in flesh?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Did God manifest himself? Yes. It says here we must consider the evidence carefully. When we have surveyed the references to bear on this point, we must seek to discover the relation of the two natures of each other and to the one personality of Christ, the humanity of Christ. Now there are heresies out there, aren't they? First of all, we got Mormonism. We got Islam. We've got Jehovah's Witness. We've got Unitarianism. We got Gnosticism. All of these are wrong. There were heresies like Gnosticism that denied the reality of his body. Did Jesus have a real body? Would it bleed?
It did.
Could you cut it? Could you touch it? Could you smell his breath? Could you feel the warmth of his body? The warmth of the body, that's what is life. When your body temperature goes low, you're in trouble. The reality of his body and Eutychianism, which made even the body of Christ divine. See, now we can't do that, can we? But for the most part of the early church, now, what do we mean by the early church, Brother Ray? Catholicism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When did Catholicism become Catholicism? About 250 to 325 A.D. Catholicism became Catholicism in 325 A.D. when Constantine married the church to the state. And then after that, we can read some of the early church fathers like Polycarp and things before Catholicism. But be careful what is made and what is said after that, because that is, these are men and the decisions of men. And even the church, when you study church history in college, Vincent, did you go to college?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. You didn't. It's good, but sometimes it can be bad.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Cal State. I went to Bakersfield College. I went to seminary. Maryland's dad one time walked through USC, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
USC, and he told on his paperwork that he had been through USC. He hadn't even finished high school. He became vice president of Mobile Oil Company. He went to USC. Is that the truth, Marilyn?
Yeah.
Yeah. Told him he went to USC.
He did. Out one, in one door and out the other.
In one door, out the back door and in the front door and back.
I guess I can claim that too.
Yeah. But for the most part, the early church, and be careful what you say about the early church, held that the humanity as well as the deity of Christ, the departures from the biblical doctrine were in the direction of the denial of the deity of Christ rather than in his humanity. And there we have the problem of the deity of Christ. Was Jesus God? Who was one of the early Catholics that denied that and was later on canonized?
Augustine.
Well, not Augustine. Arius of Alexandria. Arius of Alexandria denied the deity of Christ, and we read that here earlier. Since Christ must have become true man, if he is to atone for our sins, the question is of his humanity is not merely an academic one, but a more practical reality. We therefore note the various proofs for his humanity. Did Jesus have a human birth?
Yes.
Now, are there legends about this human birth? Did anybody ever say that his mother bore Jesus without pain? Did anybody ever say in history that Jesus did miracles when he was a baby? Yeah. These are Gnostic writings. Gnostic writings. Apocryphal writings. Muhammad said that Mary conceived Jesus by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He says that. Now, if Mary conceived Jesus by the Holy Spirit, was he God? God begets what? God. If truly their Isa, the Isa of Islam is not the Islam of the Isa of the Bible, by the way. The Jesus of Islam is not the Jesus of the Bible. It's not the same Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They will say he is and all that, but they're lying. Now, Muhammad's idea was that Mary was out there laying up against two palm trees. And the Holy Spirit came and gave her dates to eat. By the way, when you're going to give birth, do they give you anything to eat?
No.
They want to keep you from eating, don't they? But he fed her dates because she was in great labor. And that she had the child, though, when the child came forth, it was without pain. Now, how was she in great labor and without pain? Contradictions. Do you think Mary had labor pains?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Having a baby is not easy. So he had a human birth, didn't he? Now, it says he was born of a woman, Galatians 4 and 4. He was born of a woman. The fact is confirmed by the narratives of the virgin birth, namely Matthew 1:18 through 2:12, and Luke 1:30 through 38, and 2:1 through 20. Because of this, he is called the son of David, the son of Abraham. Is he the son of David, the son of Abraham? Through Mary. Matthew's lineage is through Joseph, which he was not really related to them. Only by birth. And by him, that him being his, what we call, earthly known father. But Joseph was not his father. But he was related in the kingly line in Matthew. Luke is his mother's line, which he was really the literal line. And he is said to be born of the seed of David according to the flesh, Romans 1 and 3. For the same reason, Luke traces his lineage back to Adam. Because why? That's the descendant. That's his true descendant. That's his true lineage. Luke 3, 23 through 38. This was in direct fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. And to Ahaz in Isaiah 7:14. On several occasions he is referred to as Joseph's son, but as will be noticed, in each case this is done by those who were not his friends or who were yet imperfectly acquainted with who Jesus really was. One important question. Is the Christ of Israel concerning the flesh? Is Christ a child of Israel concerning the flesh?
Yes.
Absolutely. Is Christ related to the Gentiles?
Yes.
Everybody.
Yes. Through Rahab the harlot?
Mm-hmm.
And through Ruth, the Moabites. He's of us Gentiles. Is he related to the Arabs? Yeah. Did he die for all those Islam over there?
Mm-hmm.
He died for them, but they're sure not applying that blood to them, are they?
Mm-hmm.
Was Christ born of the Virgin Mary? Was it very important for Mary to be a virgin?
Yes.
Could he have been born of Mary if she wasn't a virgin?
Yes.
Yes. Would he have had the sin nature if she wasn't a virgin? No. Any woman could have been brought forth, but because of Isaiah 7:14, she was a virgin. And so that people would really understand that he was born of a virgin, that she had been with no man, there could have been no possibility of her having a child by a man. She was a virgin.
So to eliminate all the rhetoric?
It would eliminate all of the questions.
But he could have went either way. But
yes, he could have. It's possible.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Why, Marilyn, you could have brought forth the Messiah if he so sought forth. Yes. Any woman could have. What was the oldest woman to give birth to a child in the Bible that we know about? We have the exact age according to history. Who was it?
No, it was Moses.
Moses' mother. She was 128 years old when he was born.
Oh. I'm thinking too. Oh.
Jochebed.
So Sienna, you still got time. 128?
Yeah. And she had three children, an old woman like that. And not only was she old, she married her nephew. That was his father's sister. This goes way back. That. That went back before the law, by the way. You know, now the law forbid that. But back then, there was no law of Moses. There was a law of what? Hammurabi and Kamarabi.
Mm-hmm.
They're laws. And we need to remember that there were laws when the law of Moses was written. And that laws of those back then did not forbid that. But the law of Moses changed things. All the way down to here, as we go down, it says, the holy thing which is begotten of you shall be called the Son of God in Luke 1 and 35. It said in 1 John 3 and 5 that in him was no sin, even though he is flesh. And Paul says that who knew no sin in 2 Corinthians 5:21. And there is a miracle involved in the production of the sinless humanity of Christ, but it's possible, isn't it? The virgin birth is possible because of medical science. If a woman could bring forth a child without the man, the blood of a human man, and not even in what we might call these test tube babies and things like that, they still have got to have a man. The sperm of a man. But Jesus was not born of the sperm of a man. He was born of the seed of God himself. Did Jesus have human development? Yes, he did. And right there is where we're going to quit on page 300. And we'll look at that one the next time. And we're going to denounce the fantasies and the legends and the apocryphal ideas of Christ growing up as a miracle worker. Yes, Sharon.
When you're talking about the pre-incarnate Christ as he's speaking to Adam, Cain, everybody, I was wondering, because God breathed into Adam life and lives, actually, our
lives. Yes, the breathings of lives.
So that would actually be Jesus, because he's the one that had the form to do that.
Yes, but then, before Adam sinned, God took from him this sinful woman. But she wasn't sinful, was she?
Not at that.
No. No. Women become sinful, but in women, they don't pass on the sin nature of a child. He took woman out of man. Woman means out of man. He took her out of man before Adam sinned.
But I was just thinking of that actual breath of life.
Yeah, the breathings of lives.
The breathings of lives, because Christ is the only one who has the physical form, even though it was pre-incarnated.
Mm-hmm. But God made Adam in his image, didn't he?
Yes.
In his blood flowing likeness, did he or did he not? That's what it says, Genesis 1:26, in his blood flowing likeness. Anything else? Vincent, what song do you have for us?
536.
536. See, I could look right up there behind me. I didn't do it.
I did it for you.
I'm playing dumb, see. If you're out there today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can know Him as your Savior. And you can have eternal life, and you can be forgiven of your sins. And you can know Him. Knowing God is the greatest gift that God ever gave man, knowing God. Brother Vincent.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Oh sinner, come home, the Lord said. Jesus will welcome you. The Holy Spirit will welcome you. The Father will welcome you. That triune God will welcome you. Our Father, we send this message out for your honor, for your glory. Forgive us where we fail you. I pray with everyone out there that they will come to know you this day. I pray for all of those that listen to these messages and every need that they have. Forgive me where I fail you, please, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.